Welcome to Finding and Working with a Freelance Editor. I'm David Colin Carr. This is Tanya Egan Gibson and Wendy Nelson Tokunaga. What we're going to do is each talk for 5 or 10 minutes and then open the floor to questions. So you can open any question that you're carrying with you this morning, having been at the conference for a few days already. I'm sure things have accumulated. I'm a freelance editor, been working at it for 25 years. I'm also associate editor with Volcano Press, which is a small women's health-oriented press up in the Gold Country. I work with pretty much project. I work with anything, but I tend to have my strongest skill in projects that have social value and heart value. And I really love collaborating with clients and developing a relationship in the process through which I pull out what people are trying to bring forward that they may not have access to. I have a background in counseling, which helps a lot.
Do you guys want to introduce yourself now or when you're going to talk?
Hi, I'm Tanya Egan Gibson, and I've been freelance editing for a couple of years now. I am also a writer. My first novel, How to Buy a Love of Reading, came out in 2009, and I do think that being a writer lends me a good sense of what you guys are going through when you're giving me a manuscript, because I've been on that end. I mean, I continue to be on that end, too, of being edited as well as editing. I also write for magazines and have an article coming out about this subject in Writer's Digest. I think it's the April-May one about 10 things that your freelance editor probably hasn't told you but should. So I'm happy to tell you what some of those things are today, too. You don't have to wait till the article comes out.
My name is Wendy Nelson Tokunaga. I'm an author. I have had two novels published, one Midori by Moonlight and the other Love in Translation, both from St. Martin's Press. I've also published ebooks, original novels, and a nonfiction ebook. I also self-published a novel back in the dark ages of 2000 with iUniverse, and everyone was telling me, oh God, career suicide, you know, this is before I was, you know, traditionally published. And that was an interesting experience, but that book did end up winning the mainstream and literary fiction prize for the Writer's Digest Best Self-Published Book Awards in 2002, so I got something out of it. But I learned a lot since then. I've been doing freelance editing for about 5 years now. And I have I teach for a Stanford Continuing Studies Novel Certificate Program, which is an online course. And I have an MFA from University of San Francisco.
Tanya, do you want to start so that you won't embarrass the two of us with the things we forgot to say?
No.
You seem so authoritative up there with the microphone. I think you should start.
Okay, I want to apologize to the group that I'm the guy and I'm standing and I have the panel, and it's a really embarrassing position to find myself in. I wish it weren't this way, but it is. They called me the moderator. Oh, I'm going to have to hold this. Okay. How to find a freelance editor, that's a challenge. Ask your writer friends who they've enjoyed working with. Look in the acknowledgments of books that you love that are in your genre to find out who the author worked with. Often they'll say their editor, but that means their publishing house editor, the acquisitions person. But sometimes they mention their actual text editor. And go online and look at everybody's websites. The people who've been invited to the conference have been selected because they're good, reliable people. So this is a good place to go down the list of who's here. And again, check the websites and see if it looks like someone you're going to be compatible with. And ask writing groups, ask your friends. How many people here belong to writing groups? Oh, great. Okay. Who's writing fiction and nonfiction? and memoirs? Okay, those are sort of in between. I have a question to the memoir writers. Why are you using memoir instead of fiction?
Yeah.
I didn't want to use memoir. I thought after James Frey and A Million Little Pieces, that was going to be a problem. So I called it narrative nonfiction because it reads like fiction. And that was my goal, to make it read like a good fiction novel. But it is a memoir. If you're trying to sell it, I've learned at this conference this weekend, you got to be specific as possible about what sets yourself apart. So now I am spiritual memoir. That's what they want to hear.
And I'm glad they want to hear spiritual. Anybody else want to comment on that? I'm curious because I have clients and saying, why don't you do this as fiction? And then you can make it much more powerful writing. You're not obliged to the story.
Well, the story I'm telling is not just my own story, but it's also the story about my mother, who has severe mental illness. And I just want to be able to share that and really be able to speak to those details. And there's a very specific group in the Bay Area that helped her greatly, so I don't want to disguise that. I'm actually just trying to raise awareness.
Thank you.
Thanks. That wasn't what I planned to do to open it up, but it seemed like a worthy question that I keep carrying. Okay, so quickly, editors do a bunch of different things, and you need to know where you are in your process and what sort of support you need. If you're just beginning and you have an idea and you don't even know how to start, an editor can work as a coach to help you develop an outline, can help you work with outlines. A lot of people cringe at the word. I find there are some online programs, particularly XMind, which is free, that if you're visual, you can create a visual map and at the same time it creates an outline. I like to create my map visually, but I like to write from an outline. I also write. But I don't have time. It's pay the rent first and then take your vacations. Developmental editing is to help with structure, and it's best to have that support early in the process. Often somebody's finished a manuscript and I start reading it and it has no logic. If it's a novel, the characters are disappearing in the middle of the sentence and never coming back again. Assumptions are made because it's been edited through so many different drafts, but all the background material has been cut out, and the writer has forgotten that the reader doesn't understand what they're talking about at this point. So that's developmental editing. Voicing is finding the right tone for the presentation of the content. I often, in a novel, like the writing, even though it's an objective perspective that it's being presented in, to represent the kind of language that the characters would use. Does that make sense? Okay. And voicing is different for the different kind of writing you're doing. One of the struggles I have is some of my clients are writing nonfiction about fairly serious subjects. They have an academic background, and they have no idea how to talk to readers. And they're used to journal writing and professionals. And it's really hard. I don't think they get it. I think I usually have to totally edit their text to turn it into something for a lay reader, which is why they're writing this particular book rather than just journal articles. Copy editing is really for cleaning up the manuscript, grammar issues, and I have to say for novelists, screw grammar. Let the spoken voice carry the writing. I love dashes. As long as there aren't more than two per sentence, things get really hairy if it gets to three and more. If you don't know, if you have an idea and you don't even want to tackle it, there's ghostwriting, where you sit and either you do the research and hand it to a writer, or you even ask them to do the research. and proofreading, which is the final thing that should be done. I used to work for a magazine, a periodical, and we had three proofreaders on every article. You can never have too many proofreaders. Your budget's what's going to control that part of the process. What an editor can do is move you forward from wherever you are. So any place you get stuck, go ask for help. To me, the most important thing is to keep writers writing. And they can be early in the process. They can be dealing with their personal psychological blocks. I had a client. We talked every week. She got to a place where she just wasn't writing. And we did all kinds of internal inquiry about what was holding it up. And after weeks of this, she finally said, I can't publish it as long as my mother's alive, even though she's in a nursing home and she'll never see it. And I said, go ahead and write it. Just don't publish it. But the fact that her mother was still there hovering in her psyche really blocked the process. And to say, be clear what it is you want from your editor, what it is that you need, because the editor you contact might not have the skill to address your need, and they may take over the project and it'll go somewhere that isn't what you want it, where you want it to go. I particularly love collaborating. It's always hard for me after I've worked with somebody for a number of months to not have an excuse to talk to them twice a week, because we've gotten the whole friendship going. And to say that I've worked with clients in Thailand whom I've never met. I've worked with a client in China who I didn't meet till the last 9 days of our process when he came here. I worked with a dissertation client on a fabulous book about the Haitian Rebellion and the impact on French culture. She was in upstate New York and I didn't meet her till after she graduated. So for some people, they need to sit down and work with you. But if you have an editor who's really comfortable being able to sense who you are over the telephone, I find that just as efficient. Know that you're in control of the process. I had one client who had written a mystery, had given it to an editor, didn't see it again until it was finished, and it was turned into a hard steel, steel gray, stainless steel quality, and he absolutely hated what had happened to it. And he felt obliged. She'd never seen anything she was doing until from the time she took it till she was done. You want to, usually what I do is send the first chapter back, marked up, and say, is this what you're looking for? And we'll arm wrestle. I don't do anything that's arbitrary. So if my client says to me, why did you do that? You really misunderstood what I was trying to say. You know, and sometimes I do misunderstand because writing's not clear or there's not enough background material. And we'll sit and go back and forth until both of us know we're going in the same direction. And from that point, they really don't need to see the manuscript until it's finished. Most manuscripts need a structural read-through, and that's one process, and then a separate process for going through and enriching the writing. The benefit of the structural read-through is that it goes back to the writer, typically, and they have the opportunity to make changes at that point, given the advice they get from the usually a very long conversation plus a grossly marked up manuscript. I usually mark the first 5 pages tightly so that I see the writing patterns and I can show them to the writer, and then they can use that as a model for what will help their language more richly. And then we go through for a final text edit. And there's separate processes. I always give my clients a firm maximum estimate based on an hour of time I've put in, for which I don't charge, because if somebody says, I charge $35 an hour, and somebody else says, I charge $200 an hour, and there is that range locally, you don't know what you're getting because you have no idea how efficiently people work or what they're going to do. So I invest an hour of my time. I tell my client what I'm going to do. We set a firm maximum. I keep track of my hours, so if I don't use all those hours, I don't charge them. And if I go over, I eat it. But I've been doing it long enough. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, occasionally I've had to say to a client, from the estimate I gave you, I didn't know I was going to have to do internet research to corroborate your information. Or for one client, I had to schlep into San Francisco from the East Bay to go find a library that had maps of China in 1955, because contemporary maps, all the names have changed, which is all my local library had. That's enough for now.
I'm not going to stand, good. I think, because I just realized I probably would feel weird not being alone.
I'm sitting, I can only see like four people in the front, so I'd just be talking to the four of you, and that might make you really nervous. Just you. So a couple of things that... I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm Tanya Egan Gibson, and one of the things I wanted to talk about was time. A lot of times when people come to me, they just want it fixed real fast. And if we're trying to do developmental editing, not just, as David explained really well, the difference between the different levels of editing. So certainly if you're coming to me and just asking how long would it take to copy edit my 80,000 word manuscript, it wouldn't take very long unless I had a backup of manuscripts and I could tell you how long and I could give you a price and then I would make all the words pretty in a row and you'd take it home and you'd be very happy. But that's not usually what people hire an editor for. They usually hire us for a certain level of developmental editing. Like, people say that my novel doesn't really work and I don't know why. Often people bring me these things and they say, how quickly can you mark it up and give me some feedback? And that's usually a reasonable amount of time for me. But then they think that they can go and revise it in a week. And that's just a waste of your money. So you've just paid me a bunch of money to do something, and then you think you're going to revise it in a week, and then you're going to pay for a second round of editing of something that you haven't really revised very much. And I see it a lot, and people are like, but I just want to get it done. I've worked so hard. I'm like, well, usually I'm like, well, what's the rush? I want to query my favorite agent 3 weeks from now. Well, she'll still be there. I want to get it out on Kindle. That's great. That's awesome. You have a plan. But we can wait an extra 3 months because it might take you 2 months or 3 months to do that. And you might be picking up the phone or Skyping with me in the interim and saying, I'm trying to do that different beginning we did, but we talked about, but it doesn't really work, or I don't know why it doesn't work, or now I decided I hate the new idea for the beginning. You need enough time to decide you hate the idea, not to take 5 days, rush through writing a beginning, give it back to your editor and say, okay, are the commas in the right place? So that's my biggest piece of advice, is really be patient with yourself. It's not that people are impatient with me as an editor. That's never the problem. The problem is that they want their redo to happen really, really fast. And I feel badly because I keep on telling people, but you're wasting your money. You just paid me a lot of money, or a little money, or a lot of money for you, because it's always a lot of money for you, if you know what I mean. That's how I feel when I buy anything. I'm like, but it's a lot of money. It's money I never don't have. So if you're going to spend that money, you want to spend it wisely and use it as, look at it like an investment. You just invested in something, so try to get the most out of your investment. Make those changes, and then when you return it to me, because usually with developmental editing, you're working with your clients to see several drafts of something. When it's returned to me, I'm not looking at the same thing that I just read, because that would be kind of silly, right? You're asking me to do the same thing twice, and I asked you to try maybe, fix the characterization and make this character more likable, and instead of addressing her character arc, you gave her a blue dress instead of a red dress, and you're hoping I'm going to see it differently, and I'm not, and neither is your reader. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was something that David touched on, which is you really want to know what you want from that book. And if your editor doesn't ask it point blank, or your prospective editor, you need to say it. Maybe you haven't really thought about it. The question is, what do you want the reader to take away from this? because if you try to think about it backward from the end, it's much easier for us to go backward to the beginning and make that happen. So if you're saying, I want the, if it's nonfiction and you want the person who reads it to feel more spiritually fulfilled, then I need to know that that's your goal. If you want the reader of your novel to love the protagonist and feel like she did the right thing by the end of the novel and feel like there's hope in the world, then tell me that, because I might be able to tell you, you know what, actually, that's not how I felt when I was done reading it. I kind of felt like maybe, you know, like the zombie Armageddon was about to happen. I felt very unhopeful. And this way I can figure out what it is you're looking for so I can try to get it for you. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is also something that David mentioned. You really, really don't want to feel accidentally bullied by whoever you're hiring. And I do have a client who, by the time she came to me, had spent thousands and thousands of dollars on other editors who were clearly people who understood how to edit. You know, it wasn't like fly-by-night editors, it was like good New York editors. But because she didn't really know what she wanted and she just wanted it fixed, she just kept on giving her manuscript to people. And she's it's a really cool, emotional, nonfiction manuscript. And all the heart was pretty much ripped out of it in like two different drafts, for which she paid a lot of money. So this woman has this like warm, wonderful voice talking about weight, and the whole message, it was kind of like, it's not your fault. It got translated in one of them as like, so you're fat, admit it. And she was it was the exact opposite of her message. And it was really well written, and it was like, it looked really good, but it was like such a mean book. As I go back to her original, I was like, okay, what do you want it to be? And it actually didn't take that long to edit it. She was a good writer. But the other editors just didn't like the book she wanted to write. They wanted her to write a different book. It is not your editor's choice to decide you're writing a different book. We want, hopefully, to help you write your book. Whether we really want it to end in a zombie apocalypse or not, if you really want it to end that way, we have to make it the best zombie apocalypse ending with hope somehow possible. I'll hand this over to Wendy.
However your editor might argue your point.
For example, it might not be marketable.
Hi, my name is Wendy Nelson Tokunaga. I mainly do developmental editing for novels, but sometimes for memoirs, since they can read like a novel, as we've talked about. I guess I take, it's interesting to have, to listen to, I think, a variety of editors, because I think I do things maybe a little bit differently than Tanya and David, and, you have to, I think, obviously a writer's conference is a good place to kind of find out maybe the kind of editor that you feel you need to work with. I take from the standpoint of when I was struggling, it took me a long time to get published, and that was my goal, to get published traditionally. And I had the problem of everyone said my writing was good, my critique group members said how great I was, and but when I would query agents, I got nothing but rejections. And there was a disconnect there, and I couldn't, figure it out until I got with some independent editors and teachers who really knew what they were talking about and could see what my manuscripts, and this isn't just one manuscript I'm talking about, because my debut novel was my fifth manuscript that I'd written. And I went to many writers' conferences. I was slowly improving my craft, but there was this je ne sais quoi that I didn't know exactly what I was doing. So when I do development editing, I look from the standpoint of how an agent would read the novel. And I look at, what I do is I give my client a report that looks at the big picture of the novel. I don't do copy editing. I look at, structure, plot, story, characterization, all the big things, point of view, those kind of things. I give what I think is very practical advice to, and also, not I think it's unfortunate if you have, you know, some editor who's bullying you, but just kind of telling you, you know, my opinion from my experience as to how, you know, you can improve this manuscript so not only be a great read for a reader, but for, you know, an agent will, you know, I imagine that your goal is to get agent representation. So that's the way I view it. And then I don't charge by the hour. I charge a flat rate per double space page. And I always do the first five pages for free, you know, do an analysis so you can get an idea of where I'm coming from and if, you know, you think we might work together. But I know, I think I don't know if it was in the description of this particular talk or others, which says, do I need an editor? I think the answer is always yes. Anyone, nonfiction, fiction, who doesn't think they need an editor, you know, I'm not being self-serving here because I work as an editor too, but I mean, that's what I learned. It was like, you know, the lights went on when I realized, oh, this is what I need in my beginning, not setting the scene for 10 pages, you know. I need something to happen, you know. I need characters that are, you know, well-developed, you know. And sometimes you get to a point where maybe your peers, you know, your peers can be great support and great feedback, you know, at certain levels of your writing, but I think if you want to get an agent, even if you want to self-publish on Kindle and you want a great read that's going to get good reviews, you're going to want to work with an editor. And you might want to work with an editor who has teaching experience. You might want to work with an editor. There's so many, you know, who is an editor through the publishing world. You might want to work with, you know, a person who's had, you know, published novels. You know, that's, you'll kind of have to decide on that. But that would be, you know, my advice that, yes, everyone needs an editor. So did we want to open it up to questions now, or did you guys want to say anything further?
Yeah.
No? Do you want to say?
One of the things that will help you find an audience and is important guidance for your editor is... let me take that back. For finding an agent and for guiding your editor is to be really clear who your audience is. And your audience is not the people you want to reach, but the people who can afford to pay for your book, who would be interested in it. You have to write to their cultural context, their educational level, It's really something you need to pay attention to at the very beginning of the process. You've probably heard, write your back cover copy first. And that's really valuable because it will focus you on your intention for that audience. You have to keep going back and saying, do I revise the back cover copy or do I revise my manuscript? One other thing about process of working with an editor. Everybody's using track changes these days. When I get in and rip a manuscript text apart and do it in track changes, nobody could. It looks like spaghetti that fell on the floor. So I always work on hard copy. If my client wants to make the change and understand what I've done in it, they will do the input themselves. It saves them some money. I also have a way of putting it into computer text without doing track changes. I make all the obvious changes without noting them, you know, grammatical stuff and logical stuff. I move things around. But if there's anything I don't understand, I have a way of marking it. If there are words I want to change because they enrich the text, or if I didn't understand what the writer was intending. All of those are, I have a way of indicating them, and it's a much more efficient way. So you need to think about, we'll have questions in 1 second, Gary. It's a way for you to decide how much you want to spend on the process and what's most comfortable for you. Yeah, Gary.
I think in a previous session you talked about having a map and Excel spreadsheets and, you know, and sort of summary information. And I, you know, certainly in a lot of books, you can imagine people do a lot of research and have extra material. As if you're doing not, I guess not the copy editing, but the structural stuff, mm-hmm. do you want that background material? Does that help?
Do I want the background material for a structural edit? If it's not in the text, if I feel that information is missing, I will ask for it. But I don't need the material that the writer worked from. Hopefully, they've edited through that already and only put in what's relevant. So, you know, I may cut out if there's a lot of irrelevant material, and if anything's missing, I'll notice it. What's important is that the logic of the piece unfold, and any holes in the logic are not going to be obvious to me.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Question.
So I'd like to ask probably Wendy, in terms of research, I view this as a research project to find an editor. I've got a unique need.
And I think probably all of us have a unique need. And is there a reference source? Is there a network of editors that we can tap into, rather than just say read, you know, the back of books and talk to people you meet at the conference?
Well, I know. I mean, first of all, Google is your friend as far as finding, you know, researching editors. And I know, in the Bay Area, at least, there is a organization of Bay Area editors, I know. Again, you have to be careful, as David has so nicely laid out, of the different kinds of editing that people offer, because it might not be what you need. If you want developmental editing, you know, it is very important for you to, you know, say, I mean, and to know what you need, because I think some writers don't know what they need. You know, but I'm here to tell you, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, and don't we all know the publishing world is so subjective on every count, but everybody needs developmental editing, and they need it, you know, early in the process. I work with the people who finish their manuscripts, and other people might coach people through a manuscript, but, you know, I think everyone needs developmental editing. Everyone needs you to read your book, not have any of the extra research there. You just read the book like an agent or a reader would.
Did you want to say something?
I just want to add to that I know that, see, I'm going to just keep on knocking over glasses here. I just wanted to add to that David mentioned ghostwriting, and in my handout I also mentioned that you should know whether the person who you're hiring does do ghostwriting. I don't, for a number of reasons. I really want to just edit, and I would edit on a lot of levels, but I don't like to ghostwrite. And so, for instance, I had someone come to me, and as I pointed out that there was like no character background, and I just couldn't figure out who these characters were, she said, "Well, I just want you to make that up for me." We did not end up working together. So, but it's your character. Like, don't you want to know, like, what her tragic past is? She's like, no, you can just put one in. Well, that's awesome, but that really falls more under ghostwriting.
Yeah.
When you're first talking to an editor or trying to decide if you want to work with them, spend as much time as you need in conversation, either in person or on the telephone, to make sure it's somebody who speaks your language, that hears you, that has the capacity to hear what you're trying to say, that can hear what you're saying and reflect it back to you in a way that enhances it. And take time to do that, and you don't owe them anything for that part of the process.
This is actually a tie-in to what you said, David and Wendy, because trying to find an editor is finding a relationship in somebody you trust, because this is your baby, and it will not look like your baby when it's done. And that's good. That's good. But what would you suggest when we send a test edit? Which part of our book should we send? Because I didn't want to send the first page because I've rewritten this 20 times and I thought it was perfect. I thought it was like Guy, where she was going to look at it and say, I've never seen anything so perfect, right? So I picked something I thought was weak. So what would you suggest we send in for a test edit?
Well, I'm probably going to lose fans here if I have any, but I say the first five pages, because I would love to tell you. I've been reading first pages in the independent editor sessions here, and a few, you know, were pretty dynamite. But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, what you might think is perfect or what needs help, I would say read the first five pages and I'll see if it grabs me, if it has the elements, you know, and then I'll tell you, because I don't want the middle of the book. I mean, and I look at a synopsis too, but I often don't even like to read a synopsis because I don't want any preconceived notion. I read like a reader or an agent. An agent might read the query letter, you know, but they're just going to read that first page and they're going to toss it if it doesn't. You know, so I kind of do that too. I don't toss it. I help you. But anyway,
I would mark up the first five pages. Absolutely. I also have people send the entire manuscript for me to read, though. I think it's really important, particularly for me for fiction. If I'm reading it and I'm on page 30 and I really am not going to enjoy working on this manuscript, it's correct and only right for me to tell you that it's not that I think that I'm like, oh, I only want good ones. I don't want ones that suck. It's that if you do have like a zombie eating someone's heart on page 30, I don't like horror. It doesn't resonate well with me. I'm not a horror reader. So you don't want me doing your manuscript. I have young children, and one of the things I can't read is Child in Jeopardy. I just can't read it. It shows up in a lot of places. It shows up in women's fiction. There's a lot of things about people who have lost children. I can't read that. It makes me cry too much. So you certainly don't want me editing it if my reaction is, oh my God, like I want to get this over with because I'm just going to cry the whole time. So for that reason, I do ask people to send the whole manuscript and, you know, and make sure that I'm going to be a good partner for you.
Just a quick resource for the gentleman who asked about how do you find an editor. I'm an exhibitor. We am a volunteer with the group called the Editorial Freelancers Association. We're in the Ferlinghetti Room. If you don't get a chance to drop by, there's literature there. You can Google Editorial Freelancers. And the website actually has got a good resource. You can search by kind of editor from developmental to proofread and contact individuals, or you can submit a request, I need some kind of editor, and it'll go to all the members, and those who choose to can respond. There's rate sheets.
What is
the website again? It's called the-efa.com, but you best to just Google Editorial Freelancers Association, and there's a booth in the Ferlinghetti Room where the bookstore is.
Facebook page.
There's a Facebook page, yeah, sorry.
I would just like to add another resource. The California Writers Club has 19 branches throughout the state, over 1,600 members. Some of those members are editors offering their services. I have to say we're not real organized to have it on one site yet, so if you want somebody close, that's another resource for you.
Yeah, I would recommend, piggybacking on that. Yeah, certainly if you live in anywhere, I think there's going to be some kind of writers groups or writers clubs, like California Writers Club is, you know, very famous here in California, obviously. I'm sure, and if you're, you know, live near in a college town or something, I'm sure there are lots of resources there. So I would encourage you to look for, you know, writing support groups. I'm sure we'll be able to, you know, get you in touch with editors.
You talk about a lot of money. What is the ballpark for? What is the ballpark for, can you hear? Start to finish, from idea to handing the manuscript to an agent.
Somewhere between $700,000 and $70,000. And I'm dead serious. I'm working on a manuscript about Lafayette and his impact on the American Revolution, the French Revolution, his relationship with his wife, which was stunning, based on letters that were found recently. And we have gone four rounds on the editing, and we're up over $50,000. It's partly because the guy's not a writer, partly because he continues to do research, so every time it comes back to me, it's 50% new material. Do not do that. Don't ask the editor for help until you need help. It's really hard to say. You know, a read-through, and it depends on the length, and it depends on the complexity of the writing, and the complexity of the material, and it depends on the quality of the writing. I mean, I can read 40 pages an hour on some manuscripts, and I can read 20 pages an hour on some manuscripts, just as a read-through. For a markup, you know, somewhere between 3 and 10 pages an hour. So it's really hard to say.
But you could do a whole book for $700?
Not a, no, a read-through, not an edit, you know, not a full edit, yeah.
Yeah, it is really variable. It depends on how much you want and what you want to. Like, after I read the manuscript, I have a much better sense of, first of all, how long do I think it's going to take me to development, to give you, you know, some developmental feedback. How many rounds do you want to go with me as far as, you know, do you want to submit it to me? Have me give you feedback. You go home and work on it for longer than you really want to, I hope. You return it to me. I go back through it again. How many rounds do you want to go after that? Do you want me to just polish it? Is that going to be enough? It really depends. It depends on how much work you're willing to put in on your end, because the more you put in on your end, the less time it's going to take me. And I wanted to also add, do not pay somebody to copy edit or proofread your manuscript until every other thing is done, because it's going to be a waste of money. You're going to have the commas in the right place, and then I'm going to tear up your manuscript and tell you to rewrite stuff, and then you're going to have parts with the commas in the wrong place. And then you have to start all over and pay somebody to make the commas in the right place again. So that's the last thing you do. That's like, you know, that's like the polish. You don't make the commas pretty until you've fixed a whole bunch of the other parts. As far as numbers go, it does really depend. Some people come to me and they just want the commas in the right place, and that does not cost very much. And some people want to go the whole way, or, you know, like David mentioned, it's not really done. I mean, it has a beginning, middle, and an end, but they know it's really rough, and I know that is going to cost a whole lot more, which is why I ask for the whole manuscript, because I don't want to surprise you. I usually give people a good estimate at the outset, and I, like David, unless you've done something unexpected, like say you want 3 extra rounds of editing, or you've decided to change the whole ending after we've finished everything, I'm going to stick to that estimate. I'm not going to be like, hey, guess what, you owe me an extra $1,000, because that's not nice. And, you know, I don't think any of us would do that.
Any of us wouldn't, but there are other editors out there who do. And just because someone belongs to an organization doesn't mean that they've been vetted by that organization.
Yeah, that's true. I approach it a little differently. I do, I charge $4 per double space page. I do a whole, analysis of the project, and then a chapter by chapter analysis. I don't do copy editing. I don't mark up the manuscript, but I reference the manuscript. I do follow up questions. I help people with their query letters. Usually people end up spending, I don't know, and you know, what people usually do is they have a lot to digest after I've given them the analysis, and then if they want to send me their revision, then, you know, I would charge them again, maybe a little less depending on how extensive the revision would be, and just go from there. So people end up spending anywhere, and sometimes I can tell a lot from just reading the first 50 pages and a synopsis too. Stop.
Okay. I'll answer.
We didn't think she'd have to do that for us.
There's lots of information in the handouts that didn't get
spoken.
Thank
you for coming.
Okay. We'll get you one.
Good luck if you're doing your pitches today.